Your Steve Jones Show podcast will start shortly. The Steve Jones Show podcast is sponsored by Brewers Outlet, your beverage supermarket on Reagan Street in Sunbury. Sports talk where your voice counts. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now from the Sunbury Motor Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Today's show brought to you by Brewers Outlet, Reagan Street in Sunbury, the Beverage Supermarket, Imports Domestics Microbrews, best selection of beer anywhere, wine coolers, water, soft drink, snacks, and awesome specials between now through Tuesday. Coors and Coors Light 30 packs, $17.97. Cape Wine Strawberry Lemonade, 24 pack, $14.95. And the pickle bar. Yes, I know Buhner loves the garlic, but led by the barrel and the dills, you have to have leaders. Indeed, second to none. All at Brewers Outlet, Reagan Street in Sunbury, the beverage supermarket. Again, we're in the Sunbury Motors studio, Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury, Sunbury Motors Kia Routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. Two quick notes for you. Number one, the suspension of Myles Garrett is without pay. Somebody said that the money should go to charity. I would like to enlighten everybody on how fines in the NFL work. Okay, all fine money is donated to charity. It's automatic. So whenever you hear, he got fined $100,000, the league then takes the money and then they send it to charity. You know, obviously it's a league-sponsored charity. You know? But all fines in every league go to charity. It's been a standard for a long time. I don't think a lot of fans do realize that. So if you're wondering where the fine money will go, it will go to an NFL-designated charity, as will the Mason Rudolph fine. Mason Rudolph is going to be fined. They have confirmed it. They just haven't said the amount. Okay, keep in mind, and again, here's the difference. I can be a little more impartial than the fan can on this because I had no dog in the hunt list. I didn't even see it till this morning. I looked at it. The first thing I thought was, okay, obviously Garrett thing is horrific. But I'm watching the whole play, and Rudolph started it. I mean, he grabbed his helmet. He also kicked him. So he doesn't deserve a suspension, but he does deserve a fine, which he will get. Sean disagrees, but he is a fan. Garrett does deserve to be suspended for the rest of the season without pay and the playoffs, and maybe a little bit into next season, too. We'll see how they want to handle it. But all fines do go to charity from any league, NHL, NBA, Major League Baseball, NFL. All fine money is donated to a league-affiliated charity or charities. All right? So I hope everybody knows that. That's why we have the show. We can point things out. All right. My old buddy Will Tiemann worked Seton Hall and Michigan State last night. Cassius Winston late for our play-by-play call of the day.
Pirates get a fresh 20 on the shot clock. With the ball, Powell. Here comes his three. This one is no good. Rebound, Rocket Watts. He's on the move. Now to Winston for a three. He got it! He got it! Michigan State has taken the lead with 56 seconds to go.
Will Tiemann on the Spartan Radio Network. Michigan State beats Seton Hall. Good night for the Big Ten. Penn State really won with relative ease last night at Georgetown, a team that many thought would be ranked in the top 25, was receiving votes in the poll. Penn State never trailed. Penn State played really well last night. Again, they're 3-0. All right, our broadcasters roundtable, the voices of Penn State. The voice of Penn State wrestling, Jeff Byers, the voice of men's ice hockey and baseball, Brian Tripp, and the voice of Lady Lion basketball, Justin Antwiel. An opportunity to have them all together earlier today.
So I want to get into, and Justin brought this up, about when you really have a great relationship with a coach. Brian, let's start with you. What does it mean that Guy Gadowski that you have the relationship that you do with him and the coaching staff and the access you get.
Yeah, I think it all starts with your own preparation, showing that you're willing to not only prepare for a broadcast, but willing to do stuff for the team. And that's learn about what makes each player successful, learn about the team, go to practices, show that you're invested. And I think that earns their respect. And it hasn't just come with Guy, obviously Rob Cooper with baseball, but it all started, Steve. My first gig coming out of school was broadcasting women's volleyball. And there's no one that is more knowledgeable, but also more loyal than Russ Rose. And to have him give me the opportunity as a kid just out of school to be around his team, learn the sport, learn the ins and outs of the sport, go to team meals and have the access to sit there and watch him break down film with the players. I think that's kind of where it all started for me. And that showed me what they do to prepare. And I know that I've always prepared well for my broadcast, but to get that kind of inside access, it just gives you a whole nother level of understanding of what the players go through. There's a lot that people see nowadays with social media, but there's still a lot behind the scenes that people don't always understand that goes on for these players and everything that they have to balance in their lives. So I think showing that you're prepared and showing that you have an investment in the team and the team's day-to-day well-being and just the people that are with the team, I think that helps gain their respect, and that will get you more access. And then when you have that type of access, you have to know what to share and what not to share. And I think that comes with trust and developing a relationship as well. And once they are able to trust you and you can earn their trust, then you can show that you have good judgment about what should be and what shouldn't be shared as well.
That's what people have to understand. Coaches need somebody to talk to too.
Right? Yeah,
they also
exactly.
need to know that when they talk to you, I mean, they do. They need somebody to talk to. Mm-hmm. And it doesn't hurt that sometimes it's not another assistant coach, or sometimes it helps them just to talk to somebody they know that's around it all the time and gets it. Justin, you actually, with Carolyn Keeger, you actually knew her when you were at the University of Miami and she was an assistant there.
Yeah, it's a good point, Steve. It's been a really small world, and she hasn't changed. She still has the same amount of energy and enthusiasm and attention to detail, and relationships are so important. I think Brian said it best, that trust rapport aspect is huge. I remember when I was doing Miami baseball, Jim Morris, who was the coach at the time, he told me anytime there was a 3-2 count with a runner on first, where there was no outs, one out, or two outs, the runner's going to be stealing. But, you know, don't say that. So you can kind of say, maybe the runner's going to be taking a steal here. So it makes you sound smarter. Sometimes coaches will tell you the first five plays of the game if you have a really good rapport with them. You're not going to, tweet that out or anything, but it makes you sound smarter to the audience. And I think it starts with asking really good questions in interviews. Like Brian said, if you come across prepared and you show an initiative and you're asking thoughtful, open-ended questions, the coach is going to be like, wow, this person cares. They're not just asking these, lollipop questions that are just, you roll out of bed and you think of. He sees the game, he studies the game, or she studies the game, and I think access occurs that way. And just by being a nice person, by saying hello, good morning at breakfast, and having a positive attitude, being accountable, showing up on time, and things like that, I think can go a long way. Because, like you said, you never know where life can take you. Did I think that I'd be working for Coach Keeger 8 years later? No, but it's awesome to be by her side for this Lady Lions journey in this new era of basketball.
Oh, I'm sure if you wanted to take a collection of the number of people that would like to know Cale Sanderson the way you do, you probably could retire right now if you wished.
I am always amazed at the number of people that are willing to serve as color commentators, for sure.
Absolutely. But it goes from Rich Lorenzo to Johnny Fritz to Troy Sunderland, now to Cale. What has that relationship been like with Cale Sanderson and the access you've been given to see the best in the business work in the business?
Well, first of all, to Justin's point, the more help I can get looking smarter, the better off it is.
No question.
With all the help in the world, Steve, I can only appear so smart. So I take all the help I can get. Cale, to be honest with you, from day one, I've told several people this over the years, I cannot think of a time where I asked him a question and he said, I don't want to get into that. No, there's been some things, hey, here's what's really going on. Just soon we not talk about this publicly, but this is what's happening.
But this is called common sense in a relationship.
Yeah, so from day one, though, I think he, at least with me, was very open. The thing that I have learned, and I'm sure you guys would concur, is forming a relationship and a trusting relationship with the head coach is certainly important. Where I think you really start to get kind of your feel of the entire program is with the relationships with the other personnel. The managers at Penn State over the years with the wrestling team, at least. You talk about getting inside info on the kids. And, again, just a real understanding of who's buying in, all in, who's maybe doing some things that you probably shouldn't be doing. And you start to really get a feel for that. You know, I have the pleasure of rooming with the trainer, Dan Monthly, on just about all of our road trips. And just tremendous insight from him, again, on kind of what's happening, and obviously the assistant coaches and all of the support staff, though. So I do think that a relationship with the head coach obviously is very important, and you need to establish that. But I think as time goes by and you're able to really forge trust within the entire program, when you kind of truly feel like you are part of that family, and that you kind of understand all of the different family dynamics that are going on within a program.
What is the line on, you'll hear people that will be openly rooting for their team on the air? And I'll give you an example. There's one SEC program where "we" and "us" is used all the time.
Yeah.
Right? And that started way back decades ago at the school. So what is that line for each of you between, look, there's no doubt Brian wants Penn State to win tonight, right? Brian wants Rob Cooper's team to win. Justin wants the Lady Lions. He wants them to win and beat LaSalle. Jeff's a little mixed on the next wrestling match. No, I'm just kidding. everybody knows that. So what is the line each of you tries to draw so that you are broadcasting it, everybody knows who you want to see be the winner, but at the same time, there's a professional aspect to it?
I think that's the best luxury of being the broadcaster for a team, is that you can have a bit of a rooting interest and show that. I think the key words for me, Steve, are professional but passionate. If you can mix those two things well, there's certainly a line you don't want to cross. But you certainly develop relationships with all the people around the team, and you become a fan, but you also become someone that roots for individual and personal success as well. So I think there's a line that you can't cross in doing so, but if you can maintain professional, if something happens, for instance, say Minnesota tonight has a great goal, I'm going to recognize it. I'm going to call it a great goal, and I might get excited about the play they made, just being a fan of the sport and a fan of what I do. But also, I think the best part of working for a team and being affiliated with a team is that you do get to have a bit of a rooting interest and get to know the stories and the people, and you can kind of let that passion come through on the air.
Justin?
I think passion is the buzzword, and Brian nailed it on the head. I mean, look, winning's great. It's the greatest antibiotic and the greatest deodorant. It makes the food taste better. The bus trips are better when you win. But you want to have some passion because, like, at Penn State, I'm so happy to be here. I've only been here a month, but the multimedia department's just amazing. Like, think about all those videos they produce on Twitter and their Facebook page, and your voice gets to be synonymous with them. You want to have that passionate, you know, goal or that pin or for, you know, a home run in baseball or a touchdown, that long touchdown in football. For me, you know, a 3-point field goal in basketball. Our freshman Anna Camden hit 4 threes the other day. I mean, she barely played the first two games. She came off the bench and she did a phenomenal job. And you want to capture that. So I do lean towards, you know, who's writing your paycheck. It's Penn State. You do want. I'm proud to be a Nittany Lion and a Lady Lion, and I'm gonna side with Penn State. I don't use the term "we" and "us" like that, right? But you are gonna get really excited because it's not just the radio call here at Penn State. You know, these calls will last forever for TV shows, for radio shows, post-game shows, highlights. So I think passion's important.
I mean, I noticed on the Bo Nickel pin you got pretty excited.
Did I?
Yeah.
I didn't notice that. My recollection was, look at this. There's Bo. I think that's going to be a pin. I think that's how
I thought
I
on a scale of 10, I thought your excitement level was about 4.5 to 5.5.
Somewhere in there. And listen, I think you know, fairness and respect are kind of the two things that you're shooting for. Yeah, everybody knows, certainly if you're broadcasting for a particular team, and certainly if they're providing the paycheck. And, you know, that it did change for me a little bit, Steve, because when I first started doing the wrestling broadcast, it was this radio station that was paying me.
Right.
And I'm forgetting the exact year. I want to say it was 95, 96, somewhere in there. It was right after they joined the Big Ten that Penn State kind of took over all of the broadcasting and started paying for and that included the road trips and everything else. I mean,
sure.
At the time, it was the station. And, you know, when I was paid by the station, still had rooting interest. I mean, you know, the passion was certainly there for Penn State, but I think it was more kind of right down the line and trying to remain pretty much a neutral observer. I think once you are employed by the team, that does change. But I do think, again, you're still trying to be respectful of all participating, and you want to be fair.
Yeah.
And I think that's, you know, if you see a bad call, and I think over the years you've done a great job with this, it's like, well, no, that was a horrible call. Penn State benefited, but it's a horrible call. And if that's the case, again, I think you have to call it as you see it. But yeah, you're going to get a little more excited when Penn State scores than when Minnesota scores.
All right, I'm the one that's handed all the gifts. I get Jack Ham, okay. I get Dick Girardi.
Sure.
And in the two sports I do, I think the analyst is the one that's the difference maker for the audience. Now, I know you work with Joe Putnam, but each one of you has had to do a lot of work when you've been solo. What has been the challenge of solo, where you have to essentially handle all roles and sometimes even have to engineer it?
Well, I'll start, Steve. Jeff should go first on this one, because Jeff does the 10-hour wrestling tournaments by himself without taking commercials sometimes, I think.
Well, that's because he keeps talking.
Yeah. Nobody can get me to shut up. Like buyers. And honestly, I will occasionally, and I'm getting better at it, still not where I want to be, but occasionally, you know, you'll get a call and good or bad, or you know, you start down a certain storyline, it's like, off the voice in my head, okay, buyer, shut up enough. We get it. You made your point. Move on. And you know, there is some challenges there in terms of self-regulating, in terms of, and especially in a sport like wrestling, where, again, that passion is there with the competitors on the mat, with the coaching staffs, and the whole bit.
But you're working alone.
Right. And so, you know, I'm trying to present what's happening. I'm trying to be fair about it. You want to get some stories in, you know, especially on some of the road trips about what's happening and some of the personalities that are being revealed, especially with the younger kids that might be on, you know, their first road trips or their first experiences at different places. And you're trying to balance all of that with, again, just trying to accurately describe and call the action. So, you know, the commentary part for me has always been the most challenging part, because I don't want to shy away from it, and I think it's an important part of the broadcast, but I don't want it to overtake what's happening in action, and I don't want it to detract from Penn State's kids or the opponents when you're broadcasting the matches or the tournaments.
When you work by yourself after so many years, then you finally get somebody like a great guy like Joe Putnam, you certainly do appreciate it. Having done 5 years of solo minor league baseball, yeah. 140 games a year, 5 years of Bucknell flying solo, you just appreciate it. And to me, I think it's a chance for you to digest what's going on in the game and digest the stats, Steve. While Joe breaks it down, you can have a stat broadcast is a broadcaster's best friend.
Yes,
let's be honest. That's like one of my favorite things about Penn State, other than the food and the people. Stat broadcast is up there. I'm sure Brian can agree too, but it gives you a chance to digest the stats or jot down notes in the margin, maybe questions you might have on the post game show for an assistant coach. When you're flying solo, as Jeff alluded to, everything's moving so fast, and you don't want to miss a beat of the action, because if you do, by the time you look down, a pin's already occurred or the other team has the basketball. So I think the ability to kind of take a deep breath, let the game slow down for you, because it does move fast when you have somebody to lean on that prepares just as much as you do, like Joe Putnam does, it's just crucial. But you really do appreciate kind of the grind of doing things by yourself, because kind of the higher up you get on the food chain and the totem pole in broadcasting, really the easier it is. I mean, you think about guys at the network level like Joe Buck. I mean, is he keeping track of, like, first pitch strikes? No, I mean, somebody's helping him. Right. But when you really can get your feet wet and appreciate all the stuff that our engineers do, like Bob Taylor, it's a collaborative effort. It's not just the one-person right. show or two-person show. There's a huge board op team, whether it's in Jefferson City or whether it's here in State College. They do a great job, too. So you really appreciate the team aspect after working so many years solo.
Brian, you go to a sport where sometimes you can barely take a breath to then transitioning to one where there's a lot of breathing. You have to let the game breathe.
Well, you know when you need someone the most? It's when your phone line's not trying to work. You're doing the game by yourself. You're trying to get the Ethernet connection to work. And you're on the cell phone calling the baseball game or hockey game.
Well, that was last night.
That was last night.
I had to do that.
That is when you need someone the most, because it is just brutal. But in all seriousness, just echoing what Jeff and Justin have said, when you do get the luxury of working with great people, as I've been able to do, whether it's even students at Penn State with the College of Comm and Comm Radio, the preparation that they have and their abilities is a real luxury on baseball games. And it's actually fun to get to see these young students get some of their first opportunities at a professional level broadcast and see how talented they are coming out of school. That's really fun. But yeah, the time you need the person the most is when your equipment is failing and you're trying to balance five different things at once, or something happens during the game, or you need to take a baseball game. Sometimes you need to take a little break to take care of some business. That's when you need that other person the most.
What's the most important part for each one of you in a post-game interview?
For me, I think it's for just me? Trying to capture the emotion, right? You want to get some genuine insight, but I think you want to find out if there's frustration or excitement or happiness. But I think to me, those are the two things. You're trying to capture the emotion of the event and the feelings and the immediate aftermath of a win or a loss, and then trying to get some insight, some things that you might not know and the audience wouldn't know from the coach or the player or wrestler that's involved that can, make it a meaningful interview for those that are listening.
Yeah, I'm lucky to work with three great assistants, and they kind of rotate on our post-game show every game. Coach Maya Johnson, Coach Ashley Early, and Coach Jenny Bogus, and they all well-spoken. They do a great job. And to me, Steve, I'm always thinking, what would the listener think who just left the arena? Like, what kind of question do they want? They're filing out of the BJC, and why did they run that play in the last 3 seconds? Or what made her change the starting lineup? Or what halftime adjustments they made? They scored 17 points total the first quarter, and then they scored, 59 in the second. In half. So what you just kind of think yourself, what would I ask the assistant if I was driving home leaving the parking lot? So and it is kind of a tough, because it is emotional, like Jeff said. Not every time it's going to be a win. Sometimes they're tough losses and you have to ask tough questions, but that's when it goes back to having a rapport and having trust, where they know you're not trying to burn the program down after a loss. You're just trying to get inside your head and amplify the situation for the viewer. So it goes back to having a good rapport and a good trust, and I think that's key.
Brian, what do you want to accomplish in a post-game interview for the fans?
Yeah, I think I'm trying to get what the coaches are seeing. Obviously, from our broadcast booth, we have a perspective. We're seeing things throughout the game, but there are things that happen on the ice or in the dugout and decisions that are made that you're not privy to, or maybe something they see something different than you do from ice level or from field level. So I'm trying to get their perspective on why something happened and what they saw happen. And if there's a crucial moment during the game, try to figure out what was the decision-making process, or why did they feel like that was a big moment or a big play, and what went into making that play or that decision happen. And Jeff doesn't have to do interviews after losses. They don't lose, so it's easy for him.
Oh. That is an advantage.
It's been a little while. that's for sure.
Do you remember?
Oh, yes. Okay. Yes, I do.
Make sure there's any memory there at all.
No, but I will say, and I think you've had, well, both of you have had the same experiences, and I'm sure, Brian, you too, is I am always impressed because I know well what it's like to lose. That's I did a lot of losing when I was a kid, and it is not an easy thing. And in all honesty, Kale and Casey Cody, I think handle losses as well as anybody for as infrequent as they may be, and they really do. Even in that immediate aftermath, you can kind of see how it is and why it is this program is so successful, because they'll break down, yeah, we made technical mistakes here, some little things that we need to adjust there, but it is immediate, and it's not the emotional knee jerk that I had when I was a kid and just stupid opponent and just lousy call. There are some things there that led to the loss, and we need to make and correct it, and I'm always impressed, and it's the same thing with, you go back to Joe Paterno and James Franklin, and, the ability to just kind of sit back and even in that immediacy of the loss, go over some things that led to it.
Well, I'll say this.
Sometimes the result doesn't...
are extremely fortunate to have the three of you. Go ahead, Brian.
No, I was just going to say, sometimes the result doesn't indicate how well the team has played, so... even lost sometimes, the coaches may be excited, and I think that's something that fans would like to hear.
Well, the fans of Penn State are extremely fortunate to have the three of you, hockey fans, baseball fans, Lady Line basketball fans, wrestling fans, because you're in a lot of ways the direct link with programs that are not on TV all the time, and to have three incredible professionals like you, Penn State's very fortunate, and the fans are very fortunate. Thanks so much. You gave us today.
Well, thank you for the opportunity, and I think I speak for all three of us. We feel like
it's
we're
a two way street,
ones.
Right? Yeah, yeah. You lead the way for us, Steve.
Yes, no doubt about that.
Hey, you. It's time for Sunbury Motors to eat their remaining 2019 Ford leftovers. Choose from over 20 of the hot-selling Ford Escapes for as low as $17,585. Love compact SUVs? Sunbury Motors has the leader of the pack. The 2019 Ford 4x4 EcoSport, slashed to just $20,525. SMC would give these away, but they know you'd feel guilty. Take up to $9,000 off new 2019 Ford Edges, up to $10,000 off new Ford 2019 Fusions, and up to an amazing $12,000 off on new 2019 Ford Expeditions. That's a whole lot of amazing. Pick from over 65 new 2019 leftover F-150s with total savings up to $14,750 off MSRP on 4x4 Super Cruise. Feast on Sunbury Motors 2019 Ford leftovers by November 30th before they're all gone. Sunbury Motors in the North 4th Street Auto Plaza. Proudly serving all of Central PA for 105 years. Gobble, gobble, hey.
Party time, game time, or just fun time. Doesn't matter what time it is, because it's Brewers Outlet time. The Beverage Supermarket has the area's largest beer selection. Imports, microbrews, ciders, and domestics. Pick from over 100 ice-cold 12-packs and dozens of 24-ounce singles. Soda, snacks, hot sauces, fresh roasted peanuts. Make it one-stop party shopping, and don't forget the pickle bar. So whatever you're celebrating or just doing it up, Brewers Outlet, Reagan Street, Sunbury, wants to see you. And thank you for your years of patronage.
Taking your calls at 800-795-9565. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now from the Sunbury Motors Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury. Sunbury Motors Kia, routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. Great to have you with us on the show today. Brought to you by Brewers Outlet, Reagan Street in Sunbury. The Beverage Supermarket. Imports, domestics, microbrews, best selection of beer anywhere. Wine coolers, waters, soft drink, snacks. They roast their peanuts fresh and not every day. And how about these specials now through Tuesday? As you stock up for your tailgate party this weekend, Coors and Coors Light, 30 packs, just $17.97. And Cape Wine Strawberry Lemonade, 24-pack, $14.95. And, of course, there's the pickle bar led by the Barrels and the Dills. Indeed, second to none. All at Brewers Outlet, Reagan Street in Sunbury, the Beverage Supermarket. It was not a pretty pick'em week.
Well, I'll tell you what. Wow. Yeah, but
we've all established that Myles Garrett is suspended for the season with pay. I mean, without pay. Suspended without pay. The money will end up going to charity, by the way. Just so everybody knows, that's the standard for any fine in any league. It always goes to a charity. So I don't want anybody to sit back and think it's, you know, they should do that. They already do that. It's an automatic. Pouncey gets 3 games. And Rudolph is going to get fined. Okay. Sean doesn't think Rudolph should be fined.
I thought Pouncey would get 1 game and a fine, but it'll be interesting to see how much they will fine Mason Rudolph here.
Well, they can appeal it. But again, if Pouncey doesn't kick him, then I think it is a game.
Kevin Jones, chime in. Actually, your brother and I, we were texting each other after midnight this morning. I was still wound up.
Permission to read Sean's first text.
Oh, this can't be good.
No, we can't. If this was only a podcast show, we could. So, no, I won't go.
I'm only kidding. Sean would die happy.
No.
But you got to laugh. And, I mean, I had Pittsburgh in the pool. Last week, pool, I went 2-11. I've never done that in my life. I got 2 right out of 13 games.
Well, here you were 2-5. So.
Yeah, I was awful. But everyone was awful. I mean, well, you guys are better than me, but the pool I was in was the worst week ever in the history of the pool. The favorites lost.
We were only 1 better than you. He and I were 3-4. So.
Yeah, that's what I got. 2-5, 3-4, 3-4.
Both of you now are tied.
Yeah. Out there gaining ground.
That's right. We're gaining ground.
Sean, you're right there.
Like a steamroller.
Right, I'm still 4 back, though. I still have a while to get there.
Well, he doesn't like my take. He doesn't like my take on Mason Rudolph being fined. He doesn't like my take on that at all.
You can't make up the Cleveland Browns. I mean, arguably their biggest win in, 8 years, you know? And the game ends that way, and no one's even talking about that they won the game. They're talking about their local player on the field. Well, never seen anything like that in my life in sports.
Yeah, I know. Imagine if he was on the losing team.
Huh?
Imagine if he was on the losing team. His team won.
Yeah, I know. That's what was bizarre. I mean, and the closest thing I was thinking today, what's the closest thing, was maybe when Pedro Martinez threw Don Zimmer down. But that wasn't with a deadly weapon, you know. That was just a 78 old man getting thrown to the ground by a professional athlete, but I mean, Pedro was just kind of defending himself, but I don't know. There was all kinds of analogies today, hockey sticks and stuff like that.
Yeah, the one I can think of is when we were kids, Teddy Green was a really good defensive defenseman for the Bruins. And I say that because you're like, defensive defenseman? Yeah, because they have Bobby Orr, who was an offensive defenseman. Teddy Green was a really good defensive defenseman. And in a preseason game against the Vancouver Canucks, Wayne Mackey hit him over the top of the head. This is back when they didn't have helmets. And Green missed the entire season. And Mackey's life...
Marty McSorley.
Right, Marty McSorley, same thing.
That's more recent. So.
Yeah. And that, so, that I mean, was, stuff like
that,
that's
that
happened.
That went to criminal court, didn't it?
Yeah, Rudy Tomjanovich and Kermit Washington.
Yeah.
Kermit Washington hit Rudy Tomjanovich.
Yeah.
So, we've seen some stuff like this before. I think
I would argue this. A baseball pitcher throwing a 95-mile-an-hour fastball at a guy's head.
Sure.
And the guy getting out of the way. He doesn't move, he's dead. You know?
Right. Right, exactly.
What's the difference?
No. So we've seen it before. I think so far the initial reaction by the NFL has been the right one. I think they're suspending him indefinitely, which means he's done for the season of the playoffs, which means it could extend into next year. suspending Pouncey for 3 games. And again, Sean, if he doesn't kick him, it's a game. Okay, but because he kicked him, right? And I'm talking rear back and kicked him.
That was a punk move. I'm sorry. And no, I like Pouncey. Right. He's a great football player. But, I mean, at that point, Garrett's down. And he's got a 300-pound guy laying on top of him. Yeah, and Pouncey gets off of him and starts kicking him in the head. I know he has a helmet on, big deal, but that was just like, come on, you're not on the streets of, you're not in the Bronx,
And the fine for Rudolph is right there, too, because he does grab his helmet and he does kick him in a very interesting spot.
But his feet weren't even on the ground. That would have been a 15-yard roughing the passer penalty.
Well, it should have been.
Yeah,
I mean, that's what bothers me.
He drove him in the ground. Rudolph's feet were off the ground. And, his knee went into his groin. But
In a league that has really suffered with really mediocre officiating, they blew that one, too, last night.
I mean, we can watch it all on slow motion and all that now. I mean, it happened pretty quick. And it was over pretty quick. And then the referee totally screwed up the end of the game.
Now you got all
the players leaving the field, and there's 5 seconds left in the game. Typical NFL game ending.
Sean, I got some bad news for you.
Do you remember Janet DeLeo?
Sure.
That was mom's best friend, one of her best friends. She had a few.
Yeah.
She went over a friend's house, and Janet was now 95 years old. They had a pit bull. The pit bull knocked her down and mauled her.
Oh, jeez.
She died.
Wow.
The pit bull killed her. And it's just unbelievable. It was a huge story around here. It's in the headlines every day, you know.
Wow.
95 years old, and that's how she goes out.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow. She was a nice lady.
Oh, super nice lady.
So was she walking down the street in the neighborhood when it happened?
No, she went over. It's a very ironic. She was going to visit a lady named Wasco. In fact, her husband arrested me when I was 16. He was an Enfield cop. They were very good friends, and she was elderly. And she was living with her daughter, and her daughter is in the state of Connecticut legislature. And also the head of the Humane Society. And the pit bull was a rescue dog that she had at the house. So she knocked on the door, and the dog ran to the door. She opened the door, the dog knocked her down. And when she was down, the dog started to maul her, and the home aide took a chair and was beating the dog to get the dog off of her.
Wow.
And the dog just kept on going. But she had life alert. There's a button that they push.
Yeah.
And she pushed the button. So the whole thing's on tape. So.
Good boy.
Yeah, it was just an awful story here.
It's very sad.
I don't.
Not
to bum me out, but.
Let's make some picks.
All right, let's bounce back from last week. You and Steve. That's right, Kevin. You and Steve. Now even. 49-31. Steve and I 3-4 last week. Kev, you were 2-5, and I'm sitting at 45-35, just pecking away one game at a time, trying to get into the penthouse with you guys.
Plenty of time.
All right. So week 13, we got 4 college and 3 pro. SEC first, we've got Georgia at Auburn. We'll have our. Well, that's right. I'd say the leader goes first, but you guys are both leading.
So. I'll say Georgia. I think Bo Nix is not good enough to play this game.
I will also take Georgia.
I agree 100%. Bo Nix needs another year. He's going to be real good, but he needs another year. So, Georgia.
All right. Does Minnesota stay undefeated there in Iowa City tomorrow? They get the Hawkeyes.
This game should go fast because both teams want to run the ball. I'll say in Iowa City, Iowa wins.
Wow.
I've been going back and forth on this. Kev, go ahead.
I took Minnesota. I was impressed by them against Penn State. Minnesota, good football team. Got a lot of momentum.
I'm going to go with Iowa. I just think this is going to be a letdown for Minnesota. A lot of energy was used up last weekend. I think this is a great spot for Iowa. I'm going to take Iowa. Undefeated Baylor, they entertain the Oklahoma Sooners.
They will not be undefeated on Saturday night, Oklahoma.
I also have Oklahoma.
I have Oklahoma because I hate Baylor. No other reason. Oh.
Well, you'd really like the coach. He's a state college guy, Matt Rhule. So
maybe they brought someone in to straighten out their ethics and morals at the school.
They did.
But that's a pretty crazy school.
They did, but Matt is a really good guy. You'd really like him.
Good. They made the right move. Bring somebody in to straighten out their image, because right now their image isn't very good, at least in my little tiny world of nothing.
All right, they continue their annual matchup, Navy at Notre Dame.
First time in 273 games that the game at Notre Dame is not sold out.
Matt Catrillo could go to this game.
Yes.
Matty Ice. They
will not sell it out for the first time since 1973. Navy will win.
Whoa. King?
I also took Navy. I think Notre Dame's got some major problems right now. Navy.
I've got Notre Dame, but I think it is going to be tight.
Notre Dame it is.
Okay.
This is your chance, Sean.
That could be it. That's the swing game. That's going to be the swing game right there.
Yep.
All right. Now to the pros. Indianapolis at the Jacksonville Jaguars. I hear Jacoby Brissett's going to be back at quarterback for the Colts. Nothing trying to
There are people in Jacksonville that don't care about this game.
Nothing trying to sway you guys in a different direction what you first thought with tossing in a little
is
nugget.
Is Foles playing?
I don't know if Foles is back this week or not.
I'll take Jacksonville. I don't care. They could run out. You know, Blake Bortles at quarterback again.
Well, you'd have to leave the Rams and come back to Jacksonville.
I'm saying, it's like they could run anybody out.
Yeah. That was the one thing I didn't expect last week during the Steelers-Rams game was Blake Bortles being out there.
Yeah.
All right. I will also take Jacksonville.
Let's see. You guys both took Jacksonville. I took Jacksonville, but I'm going to take the Colts. I just had epiphany.
Epiphany. Overdue with your epiphanies. Okay.
I don't know. They don't work, but I had 11 of them last week.
All right, we'll stay in the AFC. The Houston Texans at the Baltimore Ravens.
I really like the way the Ravens are playing. I'll take Baltimore. I don't want to go against Bill and Deshaun Watson, but I'm going to take Baltimore.
I also have Baltimore, but I just wonder how long this Lamar Jackson streak of a terrific play is going to last. Like they always say, you're one play away from getting knocked out. But he's been putting up some impressive numbers.
Yeah, I took Baltimore also. That the offense is an offense that a lot of teams are having a lot of trouble defending. They're putting the two tight ends in the backfield, and when you can run the ball like them. And then you have him, but you're right. When he gets somebody finally, and I hate to say it or hate to see it happen, hits him hard, does an RG3 on him, and then that'll be it. Until that time comes, he's out there fearless. He's a good football player, but someone's going to get him.
And ironically enough, if Lamar Jackson gets knocked out, who's going to be coming in? RG3.
I know. Or maybe Colin Kaepernick.
Well, we'll see how the workout goes tomorrow. So.
Yeah. That's so funny.
All right, so all of us take Baltimore. All right, so Steve, one of your esteemed broadcast colleagues, Kevin Kugler, Cougs, will be here on WKOK Monday night, Westwood One broadcast from Mexico City, the Chiefs and the Chargers.
Kevin Harlan was going to do it, because I was with Kevin yesterday and spent about an hour with him yesterday before the game. And I'll take Kansas City. I feel that in Mexico they have a home field advantage.
I'm also going to take the Chiefs.
I took the Chargers.
Oh.
Well, they're getting right now.
Well, they're getting healthier.
Yeah. Like Bosa.
Oh, Bosa's really good.
And that's week 13.
Have a good week, guys.
All right. Have a great weekend, everybody.
Tough game against Indiana.
Yeah, they're a good team.
Yeah, they're very good.
This show's been brought to you by Brewers Outlet. We're in the Sunbury Motors Studio. Thanks for joining us. Have a great weekend, everybody.
You're listening to News Radio 1070 WKOK Sunbury. You can hear us anywhere in the world with the Sunbury Broadcasting Corporation app.